For WKU Public Radio, I'm Rhonda Miller. Visitors to Mammoth Cave National Park this weekend will have their experience enhanced by music. Classical musicians will be performing inside the cave as part of the National Park Service's 100th anniversary. Lisa Autry has this preview.
Imagine hearing music reverberating through caves or echoing across mountains. This summer, an ensemble of musicians from the Eastman School of Music in New York will be visiting national parks throughout the country and performing in the natural venues. The first stop on the tour is Mammoth Cave National Park in South Central Kentucky. Emlyn Johnson is directing the project called Music in the American Wild. She visited the park in December to scout out the venue and test the acoustics.
I was just amazed. I got to play my flute in some of these bigger open spaces and some of the big caverns, and it was like playing in a glorious concert hall.
Johnson says one of the challenges will be moving the instruments and other equipment into the cave.
One of the other challenges, I think, will just be that it's a little cooler in the cave and a little more damp than we're used to playing in an enclosed concert hall kind of space. We're actually bringing along some different instruments that will be more adaptable to that environment.
While descending the steps at the mouth of the cave, park spokeswoman Vicki Carson says the cave offers an unparalleled backdrop.
The cave is such a sensory experience.
For WKU Public Radio, I'm Rhonda Miller. As Governor Matt Bevin prepares to redesign Kentucky's Medicaid program, a new national survey shows the Commonwealth with the second largest gains in insurance coverage. More than 500,000 Kentuckians obtained coverage under the Federal Affordable Care Act. Some 80% of the newly insured went on to the Medicaid rolls. But many Medicaid enrollees are worried about what lies ahead under the state's new Republican governor. Lisa Autry introduces us to one of them in this report.
What I'm going to do is have you fill out a paper application, and then we'll process it.
Okay. And Teresa Boley is at a health insurance sign-up event in Bowling Green to ask a question about changing providers. 6 months ago, she qualified for coverage through Kentucky's Medicaid expansion. Now when she gets sick, she goes to the doctor, but that hasn't always been the case.
You know, you just try to, hey, this is going to go away on its own. You have to miss work.
For most of her adult life, the 50-year-old from Bowling Green has been without health insurance. She was among more than 437,000 Kentuckians added to Medicaid, which former Governor Steve Beshear opted to expand under the Federal Affordable Care Act. Boley is a single mom who makes $13 an hour at a local packaging company. She says she can't afford the nearly $400 a month in private insurance offered by her work.
There's no way. It's absolutely impossible. I have two kids living at home, and there's just absolutely no way I can afford that.
Now that she's covered by Medicaid, Boley is visiting the doctor more often and seeking preventive care. Kentucky has had the second largest drop in the percentage of people without health insurance in the country, according to a new Gallup Healthway survey. Campaign pledges by Kentucky's new governor have Teresa Boley and other Medicaid recipients uncertain about the future of their health care. Governor Matt Bevin says he will seek a federal waiver to redesign the state's Medicaid system similar to that of neighboring Indiana.
For WKU Public Radio, I'm Rhonda Miller. When the Affordable Care Act rolled out, Indiana was faced with the same dilemma as other states: give health coverage to more of the uninsured by expanding Medicaid while taking on hundreds of millions of dollars in costs. Indiana's governor persuaded the federal government to approve an alternative for his state. Just over a year ago, the state implemented the Healthy Indiana Plan 2.0. Governor Matt Bevin wants to launch a similar program as he looks to revamp Kentucky's Medicaid system. In part two of this series on Medicaid, Lisa Autry looks at how the waiver is working in the Hoosier State.
In the years since Indiana implemented the Healthy Indiana Plan 2.0, or HIP, more than 370,000 Hoosiers have enrolled in the program. Among them is Mary Buchanan, who is self-employed, but a shoulder injury no longer allows her to work full-time. By working less, the 63-year-old from Rockport couldn't afford the private insurance she used to carry. She picked up HIP about a year ago.
One less thing that I worry about 24/7, what if something happens to me? Am I going to have to file bankruptcy because one trip to the hospital would wipe you out?
Buchanan pays just under $14 a month in premiums and has no co-pays or deductibles. HIP 2.0 is an offshoot of the Healthy Indiana Plan, a pilot Medicaid program the state began in 2008 to provide coverage to Hoosiers who earn too much to qualify for the state's traditional Medicaid system, but not enough to buy private insurance. Rather than expanding Indiana's traditional Medicaid program, Governor Mike Pence petitioned the federal government for a waiver. The waiver program requires participants to make monthly contributions based on their income to health savings accounts.
Totals can be $448.
43-year-old Carol Roberts works as a gas station attendant in Rockport. The single mom never had insurance before and went to the emergency room for care. She recently enrolled in HIP.
Get insurance anywhere else is like so expensive and everything, and this is my spend down's only like under $30 a month. So, and you know, I just found out that, you know, I've got a heart condition, so you know, it's makes it much easier and better that I can get my medication and at a cheaper rate and no copays.
Supporters say HIP encourages people to make more responsible choices about their health care. Steve Russell is Director of Patient Financial Services at Deaconess Hospital in Evansville. He says HIP has resulted in fewer patients seeking treatment in the ER.
For WKU Public Radio, I'm Joe Corcoran. 46 delegates and 43 alternate delegates from Kentucky will be among the crowd at next week's Republican National Convention in Cleveland. Donald Trump is expected to formally accept the GOP nomination for president at the event. Lisa Autry spoke to some of the Kentuckians traveling to Cleveland and has this report.
I love you. I love you. Thank you. Kentucky, we love Kentucky.
Donald Trump won 79 of Kentucky's 120 counties when state Republicans held their presidential caucus in March. But like elsewhere around the country, not every Kentuckian is enthusiastically supporting Trump. Owensboro businessman J. Todd Inman is going to the convention as a delegate from Kentucky.
Donald Trump will be the nominee. The question is, what's the process to get to that ultimately?
Inman says Trump wasn't his first choice, or his second for that matter, but his allegiance now stands with the real estate mogul.
I mean, that's our Republican nominee. You know, Reagan's often quoted as saying, a friend of mine 80% of the time does not make him or her an enemy 20%. I may not agree with every position. I may not agree with some of the tactics and the thoughts, but the alternative is not exactly palatable to what I see as America going forward.
Another delegate to the RNC is Laura LaRue of Hardin County, who was also a delegate to the 2012 convention. LaRue says Trump was not her preferred candidate, but in her words, he's not Hillary Clinton.
For WKU Public Radio, I'm Joe Corcoran. Bowling Green is preparing to welcome Syrian refugees later this year who are fleeing their country's civil war. The Warren County-based Kentucky International Center has agreed to resettle 40 Syrians, but the decision is raising concerns in the local community. Lisa Autry has this report.
Bashar Morad of Owensboro is living the American dream. He's a husband, father, and a successful physician. The kidney specialist, who is Muslim, immigrated to Chicago in 1989 on a student exchange visa. He later worked in Houston before settling in rural western Kentucky.
I was actually concerned when I first moved there. I didn't know how I'm going to be received, but people were so nice to us.
Murad did what thousands of other fellow Syrians are trying to do now, although under different circumstances. Syrians today are fleeing their war-torn country in search of a better life. Some are hoping to find one in Bowling Green, a city that is already home to a large immigrant population. The plan to open the city's doors to Syrian refugees is creating backlash in what has otherwise been a welcoming environment. City Commissioner and Mayor Pro Tem Melinda Hill has been one of the most outspoken critics of the plan to resettle Syrians in Bowling Green. She says she doesn't have confidence in the federal government's screening process.
Good morning, 7:45 a.m. Central, 8:45 Eastern Time. I'm Joe Corcoran for WKU Public Radio. Kentucky Republicans say this could be the year. The GOP once again has its sights set on taking control of the state house for the first time in nearly a century. One of the races in play is the 20th District, which includes a portion of Warren County. The two candidates are offering voters the choice between seniority and change. Lisa Autry has this report.
Go to any public event in Warren County, and State Representative Jody Richards is sure to be there.
How are you?
Hi. How are
doing
you?
All right today?
Yes.
Good. Hello there, young man. How are you? You all right today? Good to see you.
Richards is a 40-year incumbent and a fixture in Democratic politics. His challenger is Republican Melinda Hill, a Bowling Green City Commissioner and Mayor Pro Tem.
Ha, 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 ha.
In one neighborhood in the middle of the day, Hill's door knocking stirs up a few dogs, but not their owners. She leaves some campaign literature and moves on to the next house.